chapter 4. So in Sunday school, we taught the kids from through all the judges, and then we went through all the kings, and then after that we went to the New Testament for a while, and we taught them about salvation, and then we taught them about Holy Spirit and things that go in accordance with that. So that's kind of where this came from. So in Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 22, it says this: "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but to that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So obviously most people here recognize the great promise we have in this chapter, especially with verse 30. We have, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed until the day of redemption." And so I was teaching the kids about the Holy Spirit and things like that, and how Old Testament you have the Holy Spirit. He can come on a person and he can leave at will. And there are some examples of that. We won't go through that. But then I talked about how in the New Testament, of course, we're actually sealed with that Holy Spirit. So at salvation, you receive the Holy Spirit. And he gives you your soul, your spirit life. And when that happens, you are a new creature. But what happens when you sin, right? Well, obviously the Holy Spirit can't get out. He's in there, he's sealed, but you have that second word that appears in verse 30, and grieve, right? And so you try to teach them how you can grieve the Holy Spirit by some things, by your actions, by things that you do. And so in verse 31 it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And, you know, that verse 32, it's kind of a, I remember learning this verse when I was a kid in Sunday school. And so when I memorized that verse, or quote the verse, I should say, I always feel like a little kid, you know, like we're in Sunday school class and I'm going to teach this to you guys, you know. But that's where I learned it. And it's a good verse to learn. For little kids, well, this is what I told little kids, so I'll just say this to you guys. If I'm teaching something I think maybe is a little hard for them, I'll tell them. I'll say, "Listen, guys, I said there's a lot of adults out there that have a hard time with this. And so I just want to tell you guys, if you guys have a hard time with it, you're not alone. The 10-year-olds do too. So just don't worry." You know, it's a hard verse, though, because it says that we're supposed to be kind one to another and tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And if the verse would have ended there, I feel like it would just be better for us. Because with the end of the verse, it leaves us no excuse, right? It says, "Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And when you put it in that context, it's kind of like, yeah, I guess it's kind of hard to have an excuse not to forgive that brother or sister for what they did to me, right? It really makes it hard. And so the Lord doesn't really allow us a way to escape this. And, you know, kindness, it'll go a long ways. But first of all, I just want to say that being kind is a command. It's one of the commands that the Lord gave us. And it's in direct connection with forgiving the brethren. And, you know, how many churches have you been to in the past, or just knowing all the people that have come through here, and stories that you hear of church splits, and what is it about? Really, a lot of times it's what? A brother doesn't forgive one. another brother, right? And even with that, with that being said, I would say that this verse, it doesn't give you the right to play the part of the older brother, right? The prodigal son goes off, and the Bible says he wasted his substance on riotous living. And then he comes home. Everybody's happy, right, except for the older brother. And he's out in the field, and he's mad because the father has thrown a party for what he thought was for the younger brother, but it's not. It's for the father. But he's mad. And when you read this verse, it doesn't give us a right just to stay mad at maybe a prodigal that's come home, right? You're let all bitterness and wrath, right? Bitterness. What? Bitter because that brother left and look, he's come back and, you know, well, you know, I don't think he should be let back, right? You know, there's things like that, but we're supposed to be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, another thing that this is in connection with, being kind, is if you will, go to 2 Peter chapter 1. There is other connections with it, and I know that I will miss some verses through here, but if you will go to 2 Peter chapter 1, it's important enough to be connected with our growth, and we'll see that in verse 5. It says, in 2 Peter 1:5, it says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. And so, read verse 3, according to as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And this goes down verse 8. I kind of read it out of whack, sorry. But in verse 8 it says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make that you ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And it's in connection with your spiritual growth. The end of that verse, it says, and he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, sometimes when, I won't go into that, but anyways, it's connected with your growth. So you need to be kind, right? If you will, go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, it says in verse 31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And you need to watch your tongue, right? Being kind. We will talk more about this, but you can be kind to somebody to their face, right? But behind their back, what are you? You know what I mean? And you need to have that stuff put away from you. But unfortunately, it'd be cool if it just stopped there, right? It'd be nice if it just stopped there. Look at chapter 5. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and what? Walk in love. Who wants to love their brother? Nobody, right? But it doesn't stop. It doesn't just stop at being kind. We are actually, believe it or not, we're supposed to love one another. Yay, right? That's what we're supposed to do. As Christ also hath loved us. So if you can't love the brethren, I mean, if it's so hard for you to love the brethren, how hard do you think it is for Christ to love you? Right? I mean, for the guy that knows, excuse me, I don't mean to speak lightly of him, but for the one that knows everything about you, right? All of your thoughts, all of your sins, all of the way that you feel about your other brothers and sisters in Christ, he loved us, he forgave us, so surely you can do the same, right? And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Go to Romans chapter 12. So this love that we're supposed to have for our brothers in Christ, it's something that we are supposed to walk in. Obviously, we know that we are supposed to have a daily walk with Jesus Christ, right? Our relationship is supposed to be a daily walk with Him. And in order for you to walk, if you can imagine a road and it's paved with Jesus Christ and it's paved in love. And that's the road that we're supposed to walk down, right? That's the road that we're supposed to travel. And in verse, let's see. Look at verse 10. 12:10. It says, be kindly affectioned. See, you're supposed to be kind, kindly affectioned, one to another with brotherly love. So it doesn't just stop at be kind one to another, but we are supposed to walk in love. We are supposed to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Look at verse 9. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. The love that you should have for your brothers in Christ, it shouldn't be a love of hypocrisy. It shouldn't be a fake love. Dissimulation, it means a hiding under a false appearance, a feigning, false pretension, hypocrisy. That is not how our love is supposed to be for one another here. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. And that's how we're supposed to treat one another. And it kind of, you know, we are probably very familiar with this, and talking about loving the brethren, sometimes we shy away from it, right? Because you have the left that goes the way, all the far left that go to the extreme right, and it's just God's love, and it's just overflowing, and it's bubbling, right? And it's not that way, and so we kind of shy away from it, but it's an important thing, though. Let's see if I can find this. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Go to Galatians chapter 5. It's very important that you do this. If you look in Ephesians, there's a lot of references that or a few references that we'll go over that talk about love, and it kind of makes you wonder if the Ephesians maybe had a hard time with that. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. And if you don't do that, it says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. And that's what happens. You talk bad about your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you bite and you devour them. And, you know, when Jesus Christ was on the earth before he died on the cross, you know what he said? He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you what? That you love one another. And when you think about it like that, you think that before Jesus Christ died on the cross, at the Last Supper, maybe they're getting up ready to go, and he goes, oh, wait, I forgot to tell you guys one thing. This is really important. You need to love one another. And I'm kind of jumping ahead, but it says that the world could tell that the disciples were with Jesus Christ because why? Because they loved one another. And so it's an important thing. Let's see if I can get back on track here. Go to Romans chapter 12 again. So you're not supposed to have a fake love. Now, there are people that it's hard to love, right? They're just hard to love. But don't worry. The Bible does talk about that. So we're not done yet. Okay? Hold on. All right. Chapter 12, verse 16. 12:16, it says this, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, be not wise in your own conceits. And you know, it won't hurt you if there's a brother in Christ who maybe isn't as spiritual as you. Maybe he's annoying. I don't know. But you know, it'll never hurt you if you just, like it says here, condescend to men of low estate. And you know, you can do that with a lost person too. You go talk to a lost guy and you just, you know, you help him out. You try to talk to him and condescend to men of low estate. But when you don't do that, when you don't want to do that, you know that there's a problem there, because it says you're not supposed to be wise in your own conceit. And so you have a conceited person, they, you know, they're not going to stoop to that level. But that's what we need to do. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. Let's see. So even though we are supposed to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, a lot of times, and for some reason, you know, I passed a church yesterday, a Baptist church, and it said, God loves you. Now that's true to a point, right? I drove past that sign, and that's true for me, right? You drive past that sign, that's true for you. But God doesn't just love the whole world, right? He doesn't. Now, he showed his love 2,000 years ago, right? And he died for the sins of the world. So in order for you, as a lost person, to get into the love of God, you got to get in Christ, right? We've been taught that. We know that. But that's something that you kind of have to establish. Because in 1 Peter chapter 2, look what it says in verse 17. It makes a distinction here. It says, honor all men. But then it says, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So even though we are supposed to love one another, this does not by any means mean that we are supposed to love the world. We're just not. Now, it doesn't mean that you can just go out and be a jerk to somebody, right? It says, honor all men. It says, but love the brotherhood. So it shows how those are two separate things. Go to 1 John. Go to 1 John chapter 2. So we're not supposed to love the world. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, it says this. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the work, the will of God abideth forever. So we're called specifically that we're not supposed to love the world. Now, Jesus Christ, go to John, I think it's chapter 17. Go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. This is the Lord's Prayer, the real Lord's Prayer. And look what Jesus Christ prays. In verse 5, it says this. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Look at verse 9. He says this. I pray for them. For what? For his disciples, the ones that are called out of the world. I pray not for the world, but I pray for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And so even Jesus Christ, when he's praying, he doesn't ever pray for the world. He doesn't pray for them. He says, I pray for them that are what? That are come out of the world. And so that's a commandment for us. We're not called to love the world. We're told to honor all men, but what? Love the brotherhood. Go to 1 John chapter 3. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. Excuse me, verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Easy verses, right? Go to John chapter 13. Go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, let's look at verse 34. I quoted this verse, but I will go ahead and read it. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And so Jesus Christ calls us out of the world. He doesn't pray for the world. We're not supposed to pray for the world. But he says that we're supposed to love one another. With that being said, go to Ephesians chapter 1. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll see this again in verse 15. Ephesians 1:15 says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord, Lord Jesus, and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And you can imagine, you know, I tell the kids, you know, you imagine Paul coming here, and he comes here, and he's just like, man. He's like, wow. He goes, you could just feel the love. You know what I'm saying? And Paul goes in there, and he goes, man, he goes, every time I think of you guys, he goes, I just thank the Lord for you. Because he can see their growth, right? Their love one to another. Their love unto all saints. And so that's a big deal. Now, with that being said, though, I guess in my mind, I kept kind of questioning, well, what about all the, you know, my dad got up here a few weeks back, and he talked about this guy that wrote this book and has had these weird things, and you're like, well, where does loving the brethren fit in with that? Well, I may not be able to answer it the greatest, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This doesn't mean that we're not supposed to separate from those that don't believe right, or that are in an open sin in this case. We won't read what the sin was, but you guys are familiar with this passage. 1 Corinthians 5:5, look what Paul says. Let's start in verse 3. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed, this sin. And he says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together and in my spirit and with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And so Paul, this man is in open sin, and Paul calls him out. And so there's room for that stuff. The Bible says that you're supposed to speak the truth in love, right? You can speak the truth to somebody, but how do you say it, right? So Paul, what he's doing here is what? He's protecting his flock, right? He's protecting the flock that this guy is corrupting. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll see it again over here. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul calls somebody else out. First Timothy chapter 1, let's look at verse 20. It says, verse 19, let's do 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning the faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So you have these guys in church, and they're blaspheming. And so Paul turns him over to Satan. Go to 2 Timothy 2. Go to 2 Timothy 2. So when you think loving the brethren, you just naturally think that everything is just, you know, easy peasy, right? And that there's no tension or anything like that. And this doesn't eliminate that. It doesn't. But it gives you some instructions on what you should do. Look at chapter 2, verse 16. But shun profane vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. And so Paul once again calls out Hymenaeus and Philetus for teaching that the resurrection had already happened. It was already past. And it just shows that even though we are supposed to love one another, there are times where the Lord, or I guess I'll say, even though there's love, there still has to be judgment, right? Judgment still has to be made there. In chapter 4, verse 13, it says this, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. And so Paul calls those people out, and that's needful. But I, you know, sometimes somebody said something to me about a guy that he teaches weird stuff, and they said, yep, well, we're supposed to love him. And it's like, yes, that's true, but you need to be warned about his doctrine, right? And, you know, people, I guess these days, and it's always been, there's always been an attack on biblical doctrine, but it matters. Biblical doctrine matters. The right teaching, it matters. And so you have these guys going out, and for Hymenaeus and Philetus, it says they eat as doth a canker, right? They eat away at the body of Christ. And so somebody has to step in and what? Speak up, right? So that doesn't mean that there's no love. Let's go ahead and go to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we were shown that we need to walk in love in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says in verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And so we need to serve the Lord in love. If you look in chapter 3, verse 16, it says this, or verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, and that goes into something else. But it says this, it says that ye being rooted and grounded in love. And that's what we should be. We should be rooted and grounded in love. And I was telling the kids this. I said, you drive on the highway, or you go in the woods. You guys ever seen a big tree and it's tipped over? And you can see that it pulled up the whole root system? Well, I mean, that shouldn't be us, right? This church, or you individually, you will go through things. A brother in Christ will make you mad. And does that tip you over? I mean, are your roots, are you not grounded enough in the Bible to be able to withstand that storm? It says that we're supposed to be rooted and grounded in love. Go to Colossians with that in mind. Keep your hand in Ephesians, but go to Colossians chapter 2. Go to Colossians chapter 2. This is what the Bible says, that how we are supposed to be. Colossians chapter 2. It says in verse 1, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. And you know, you picture as a big old tree has grown up, and there's another smaller tree that's grown next to it, and what do their roots do? Their roots get down there and they get deep enough. And what happens? They start to grow into each other, right? And that's how we're supposed to be. We should try to hold one another up. It says that we're supposed to be knit together in love. The rest of that verse says, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the ministry, mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And really, you know, it comes down to this. Whether you are rooted and grounded in love, it has to do with you knowing and understanding, having wisdom with the Bible, right? You being rooted and grounded in love in the Bible. And, you know, we just heard a sermon the other, 2 weeks ago about you need to read your Bible. And again, it It gets so repetitive saying that. I say that to the kids, you know, and they're only 10. So they probably don't remember hearing it that much, but I feel like I tell them, like, every time, read your Bible. You know, it's like everything that you say to them, it just backs up more why you need to read your Bible. Right, you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit, right? And we tell them, you grieve the Holy Spirit by what? You got to let all bitterness and wrath and clamoring and all malice be put away from you, right? And then what do you say? That's why you need to read your Bible. Because you won't know how not to grieve the Holy Spirit if you don't read your Bible. And you're not going to be rooted and grounded in love if you don't read your Bible. And, you know, another thought along the lines of being rooted, you know, there's other people watching you. When you fly off the handle at somebody or you don't handle a situation right, it does affect other people. If you're going to topple over and pull that whole root system up, you might affect other trees. You might affect other brethren in the church. You know, it talks about there being a root of bitterness, right? And, you know, it's interesting because we're supposed to be rooted and grounded in love, and you think of just the storms that come your way, and those storms shouldn't knock you over. But it's kind of opposite in our lives, because you have people that are rooted and grounded in what? In bitterness, right? And the Holy Spirit tries to blow on you, and he tries to get you to grow, and you just stand there, you're like, I ain't moving, right? You ain't going to blow me over, right? And it's opposite. That's not how it should be. So the devil comes in, and he tries to blow you over by knocking you off course by another brother in Christ. And that shouldn't knock us over, but we shouldn't be rooted and grounded in bitterness, right? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. So we're supposed to be rooted and grounded in love. And then 4, verse 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Now that is the verse that you guys all have been waiting for. I know you have. Why? Because you know what forbearing means? You need it takes long suffering. And listen, there is always somebody in church that you just, it's like, oh, you just have to forbear them. Because you just want to hit them. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has that. You know, but so the Bible makes exceptions. It does. But you're supposed to forbear them. Even the people that you don't like, the Bible says what? You're supposed to love them. Now, I shouldn't start this story because you'll get the wrong impression, but I'm this far, right? You know, me and Seth, we don't talk very much. Now, I like Seth, okay? So I'm not saying that I have to forbear with him. I'm not saying that. But I don't talk very much with Seth. We really don't talk very much. I'll text him once in a while. But there is a love that I have for him, even though we don't talk very much. Why? Because he's my brother, right? That's how it should be with us. Yeah, I don't talk to that guy very much, but don't you mess with him, right? That's how it should be. So we should be, again, we're knit together in love, right? We have the same father. But we're supposed to forbear one another in love. Verse 3. Why? Why should we do that? Verse 3, it says this, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And there's going to be brothers and sisters in Christ that you're just going to have to put up with. And the Bible says that you should love them, but you're just going to have to put up with them. Why? To try to keep the bond of unity, right? The spirit of peace. In 4 verse 16, it says this, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And we need to edify one another. And again, that includes the guy that you hate the most in church. The one that sits all the way on the other side and you guys, your paths never meet, right? You're supposed to forbear one another in love. And you guys are supposed to be edifying one to another. But yeah, forbearing one another in love. To refrain from killing him, holding back from like choking him or something, to be patient or self-controlled when subject to annoyance or provocation. Yes, I'm so glad that verse is in the Bible. I'm like doing this study, and I'm just like, seriously, like, what am I supposed to do, you know? And then I read that verse, I was like, oh, thank you, Lord, you know? He does not put anything on us that we cannot bear. But let's see. I have a note here, but I don't have a verse next to it. But yeah, we are supposed to speak the truth in love. And you know, you think about when you go up to a brother in Christ and you tell him something. One of my friends said this. He says, you know, he goes, two people, if they have a right heart, if they're in a disagreement with a right heart, they can come together and say anything. Because if you have a right heart about something, if you're speaking the truth in love, why can't you say what's on your mind? Right? So you need to speak the truth in love. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is probably going to be that verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 12, it says this, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Now, Paul has quite a compliment for the Ephesians, because in chapter 4, verse 9, it says this. Look what he says. He says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. And that's quite a compliment. I mean, Paul says this. He goes, hey, listen, guys, I came ready to preach sermon, but you know, I see that you guys don't even need this. He goes, you're already abiding in love. He says, ye indeed do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. I mean, that's a pretty big compliment. If you will, let's see. I already did that. I tell you what, go to Hebrews chapter 10. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit, actually, the first fruit of the Spirit is love. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. But that's one of the first fruits of the Spirit. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, it's kind of hard to turn and talk at the same time. Hebrews chapter 10, let's look at verse 24. It says this, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. What do you bring out in people? And you know, do you bring out the best in people? Do people bring out the best in you? Do you provoke somebody to desire to serve the Lord more? Kind of interesting thought. As people sit there and watch you live your life, does your brother turn and look at you and just say, man, I really wish I had the relationship he has with the Lord. I'm going to try to do that. You know, when I was younger, I remember I would be, we'd be in church and my dad would quote a verse and I'd just be like, man, that just sounds cool the way he quotes it. I'm going to go memorize that. And I've done that a couple of times with some things. I just hear somebody quote something and say, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we lust judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. And then he died for them, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. And I was just like, man, just when he says it, it just sounds cool. I kind of want to memorize that. You know, but think about it. What do you provoke people to do? Do you provoke people to love the brethren? Or when they're around you, is it just always like backbiting, right? And just like, do people walk away from you and they're just like, yeah, I shouldn't be around that person very much. Something to think about. So how do you provoke somebody? Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, and let's look at verse 22. says this. There's other stuff in here, but we'll just hit what we need. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently. And, you know, we're supposed to love each other with a pure heart. And once again, why do you need to read your Bible? So that you can stay in it to try to have a pure heart. Right? You let a kid do what he wants for a long time. You know, it's like the typical thing is, you know, when the kids go away with the grandparents, you know, and then they come back and they're like, you know, little brats, you know. Everybody says that, you know, oh yeah, they've gotten what they want. Everyone's spoiled, you know. And I have no clue why I just said that. But anyways, you need to love with a pure heart. Wow, that was bad. You know, you shouldn't have any hidden agendas, right? I mean, why? You know, there's people that, what do? They get in with this person so they can get here, and then they can get there, you know, and they can just move up, right? You shouldn't have any hidden agendas. Here's a good idea. Go find the person in church where you just don't like them. They're just annoying to you. And why don't you just sit down and be like, hey, how you doing? And just befriend them, right? Why? Just so that you are getting nothing out of it. It's not for you, but you're just doing it because the Lord wants you to do it. I dare you to try it. I shouldn't have done that because now I have to do it. but that's something we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love with a pure heart. Now, again, I know that this stuff is pretty simple, but I was just... My dad asked me to teach on that. I was like Thursday or Friday, and we already had something planned for Friday and Saturday, and then I was busy Monday, so I was like, well, you know, maybe I'll do this. So I hope you guys got a blessing out of it, and I guess we will close it, and we'll sing a song.